In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Everyone has a God. One may reject religious deities, but he still trusts in something, and whatever you trust in, that is your God. So you expect your God to make you happy when sad, prosperous when poor, healthy when sick, to protect you in times of trouble, and ultimately to save you at the hour of death. Your God is what gets you out of bed in the morning and structures your day. Maybe it's Allah or Zeus, the Mormon God, the Jewish God. Maybe it's money. Or maybe it's something internal, the desire for pleasure, the desire for an easy life, or the desire to just feel good about yourself. Everyone has a God, something that they trust in. So is your God worthy of your trust? Will money really make you happy? Will lower gas prices really fix your relationships? Will the president really keep you healthy? What about those internal ones? Will achieving pleasure really keep you healthier longer? Will an easier life extend your life? And will feeling good about yourself really make everyone else like you? It's absurd. That's not their specific job, you might say. And you're right. And so we do what the ancient Greeks did. We chop up each authority so that each specific god has a certain scope of authority and ability. This one takes care of health. This one takes care of money. This one gives me happiness. This one fixes marriages. And on it goes. No different than the ancient Greeks. Which one of those things, though, has created the heavens and the earth? Which one of those things can help you at the hour of death when you most need that help? Not only has all of them already failed you, but they will continue to fail you in as much as they may help you. Add to that this thought. None of them has authority or power in and of themselves. Money has no authority or power except that which an economy or a government attributes to it. Same with a spouse. No authority or power except that which was given to him or her. Same with a government. They have absolutely no authority or power in and of themselves except that which God has given or, we might say, the people have allowed them to have. So all of these other gods, and it includes doctors, it includes children, it includes even myself, all of these other gods have no power, authority, ability, or skill in and of themselves. They have all received it from someone else. The triune God is different. Yes, the maker of heaven and earth, yes. But he has no parts. He is one simple essence. He has not received life or goodness or mercy or morality from any outside entity. He has it in and of himself. So those attributes of God are not different parts of God, but those attributes are actually his essence. What he has is what he is. So he hasn't received goodness from an outside source, but he is good. There is nothing outside of him. He hasn't received life from anyone else, but he is life, and apart from him, there is no life. And the same is true of power and of knowledge and of goodness and of light and of health and of presence and of power. God is his attributes. But not in some impersonal, force-like manner. He is a person, a being, with a will, with actions, and with a desire and knowledge. Scripture reveals him to us in his attributes so that our finite minds might better comprehend him, because God wants us to comprehend him, to love him, to trust him, to believe in him. Not only because he is the one and only God, but he is the only one who can help us, regardless of what the problem may be. He didn't have to create this world. He knew what was going to happen the moment he said, "Let there be light." He could have saved himself the trouble, but he didn't. Still, he spoke. So great is his love that he wanted an object of his love. This world and mankind do not complete God in any way. He is complete and sufficient and good and love without this world. But he also desired to manifest that love in this world and to create you as his eternal object of his love. How different from the Allah who creates so that he might receive more worship, more honor, more praise. The triune God created so that he might give love. No need to be a fly on heaven's wall wondering what God is up to today, for he has clearly told you what he is up to. He desires that all might share in his love, his life, his peace, his hope, his joy, his goodness. And whatever works toward that end, he will carry out in your life. So yes, God could theoretically do whatever he wants. But he will only do what is for your good. He could make water stand upright or the sun stand still, but how would that help you? Instead, he makes water flow over your head and your heart and your soul. Born again through water and the Spirit, born again by the omnipotent, eternal, everlasting God, who lives outside of time and space and matter, and yet in time at a particular place and united with water has come to you so that you might share in his love. This triune God is a Savior who washes you so that you might be cleansed of all your sin, freed from all your guilt, your regrets. The triune God is the one who can help you, for his salvation is not located only in, "I can get you to heaven." His salvation is located in all things. That is, he can help you with anything at all times. He is the Savior from sickness and disease and suffering and sadness and broken hearts and poor relationships and broken bones and cuts and scrapes. He is the one who sustains your life. He is the one who saves you from canes and walkers and eyeglasses and hearing aids. He is the one who makes you run and leap like a calf released from the stall. He is unlike any other because he needs no help or no assistance or tapping into any other power. He is. And therefore he can. And he has made it clear to you in those waters of holy baptism how he views you. Not simply as one among many. But all the promises of that word have been poured over your head. And you are his beloved. So you have not a deity that wants simply worship, honor, and praise from you. You have a Father who gave you new life through water and the Spirit and has forgiven you all your sins. And fathers have an obligation to their children to watch over, to protect, and to take care of you. Even so, your heavenly Father watches over and protects with all of his attributes. And remember, those attributes are his very essence. He watches and protects and loves you. He enjoys watching you grow and mature, discovering new things, And yet he also allows hardships and difficulties, for what father does not test his children? So that you might persevere and overcome and be conformed more to him. God is also your brother. The eternal, omnipotent God who lives outside of time, space, and matter, in time, at a particular place, became man, became matter. So that he might bleed in your place, die in your place, and redeem you. How different from the Mormon God, whom they also call Jesus. Their God is not an eternal God with eternal attributes. And yet for us, they're lying in that grave motionless, personally united with that body, is the eternal, omnipotent God. Your sins are paid for. His blood has cleansed. And his life enlivens you. If that God is for you, who can be against you? If that God has redeemed you and given you all things, what evil can overcome you, destroy you, harm you, or afflict you? What regret or even internal struggle of conscience can deprive you of his love? And finally, there is the Paraclete, a Greek word that is not a that does not have a perfect equivalent in English. Helper, comforter, guide, advocate. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who is present everywhere and yet has seen fit out of all the wonders and beauty of this world to make your body his holy temple, that he might dwell in you. And you and him. Through word and sacrament, he continues to take what is Christ's and give it to you so that you might evermore be conformed to his love, his holiness, his goodness, and so you might share in the things of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not three parts of God, but they are three coexisting persons. They are distinct persons. And yet one in essence, one in being. Each fully God. And the Son of God, also now man. There is no power, authority, or ability outside of him. He is the beginning and the end of all things. There is no morality, goodness, or love outside of him. So anything that is opposed to him is not good, is not love, is not kindness, regardless of how you feel or think. But it is the opposite. So you see, your entire life has been caught up into him who is the eternal God, so that you might share in his love, his peace, his joy. Not simply for a few earthly years, but forever. In love, the Father created you so that the Spirit might give you new birth through water. In love, the eternal Son of God died for you so that you might share in God's life and be that eternal object of love. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will trust in, who your God is. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the savior of the world, and the only one who makes men holy. To God alone be the glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.